All right, if you will, turn again with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, we've read the entire chapter, kind of giving us some background. We're going to focus on verse 16. A couple of weeks ago, I read this quote from E.M. Bounds, who wrote a number of books on prayer. Bounds share this: "We are constantly on a stretch in the church, if not on a strain, to devise new methods, new plans, new organizations to advance the church and secure enlargement and efficiency for the gospel. This trend of the day is a tendency to lose sight of the man or sink the man in the plan or organization. God's plan is to make much of the man or woman, the person, far more of him than of anything else. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not anoint plans, but a man." In thinking about that quote, I thought about Paul's letters to Timothy. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. They're called part of the pastoral epistles. Timothy was a pastor. And a lot of what Paul wrote to Timothy was out of the background of Timothy trying to help a church that was struggling with false teaching and other kinds of error, both errors of doctrine and errors of life. And so Paul really emphasized to Timothy not only the kind of preacher, pastor he should be, but also the kind of person he should be. And I realize you're not pastors, okay? The vast majority of you are not. And yet, there's much to be learned from what Paul wrote to Timothy for all of us about how we are to live and how we are to prepare ourselves, both what we believe as well as how we live. I have made it a practice over the years, even before I became a pastor, to regularly read what Paul wrote to Timothy, because I am a pastor. And it's very challenging. I find that I come woefully short of what Paul challenges Timothy. But it's a helpful exercise, painful, but helpful, to do that, to see what the standard is and how it is that God has designed for us to be effective as his servants. And in verse 16, Paul kind of sums up what he's written to Timothy in this entire fourth chapter. In fact, in much of this letter, but in particular in the fourth chapter. So we're going to look at primarily verse 16. And when we look at it, there are two concerns that Paul has that he expresses. There are two commands that he gives and two consequences. I'm stretching it a little bit on that third one. It's actually one consequence for two different groups, all right? But I'm a preacher. First of all, let's look at the two concerns. Paul says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Some translations say on the doctrine. Paul says there are two things you need to be concerned about: your life and the word, the message that you have to give. And Paul has said several things to Timothy in this chapter about his life. For example, in verse 7, Paul says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. We live in an age and society that is obsessed with body image. And with, you know, there's never been more of an emphasis on exercise and health and all that. I don't think there's ever been more focus on that in the history of mankind. And yet, I'm not sure that we're all that healthy. But in any case, you know, we are obsessed with it. We're not so obsessed with training our lives spiritually. Not nearly as focused on that as we should be. The word here that Paul uses when he says train yourself for godliness is the word gymnos, which from which we get our English word gymnasium. And it's a word that came from wrestlers who would wrestle with each other and would train very intensely and everything. So Paul is saying, wrestle your body, wrestle your life, wrestle your spirit for the purpose of godliness. Train yourself for godliness. Why? Because you need to watch your life. You need to keep close watch on your life so that you don't go off the deep end. So you don't allow yourself to make shipwreck of your life and of the faith. In verse 12, Paul adds this, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Paul says to Timothy, now we don't know how young Timothy was. He was very likely not in his 20s. More than likely probably late 30s, even 40. And yet he was considered to be a young man. I would consider him to be a young man. But anyway, Paul says, don't let people despise you or look down on you, not give attention to you because you're young. And the way to counteract that is to be an example. To be an example to other believers. And here are some areas to be an example. In your speech, not only what you say, but as importantly, what you don't say. Are you critical? Do you gossip? Do you tear other people down? Or do you build up with your speech? In your conduct, is your conduct blameless? Is it above reproach? Now we know that no one's perfect. And yet, Paul says, can you point to your conduct, your lifestyle as an example? Do that. Be an example. In love, we should all seek to be an example in love. Again and again and again in the New Testament, we find that Jesus says, by this all men will know you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Paul wrote a whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, about the kind of love that we are to have for one another. Peter says, let above all else be known for your love. Let the love that you have for one another be what marks you out. So set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith. That is, in your trusting the Lord in good times and in bad times. It's relatively easy to have confidence in God when everything's going well. But what about when everything's not? When you're going through trials? When the diagnosis for your health isn't good? When there's too much month at the end of your money? You know, when your children are not obeying, are not honoring you? When your spouse is hard to live with? Now, most of you can't identify with any of what I just said. But there are situations where some people do struggle in these and many other areas. Paul says that's when we need faith. That's when your faith needs to shine. That's why we have faith. Not for the good times, but for the bad times. So be an example in faith and in purity. The church, as I've often said, was birthed into a very impure age. Sexually immoral. Very much like our day. Paul says, you be an example. Impurity. So Paul says, my first concern is for yourself, your life. Charles Spurgeon wrote this, a man's life is always more forcible than his speech. When men take stock of him, they reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies. If his life and doctrine disagree, The mass of onlookers accept his practice and reject his preaching. If there's a contradiction between what you say and what you do, people accept what you do and reject what you say. Watch. Keep a close watch on yourself. But also keep a close watch on the teaching. That is, what you tell others about God and about the things of God. Make sure you know the truth so that you can share the truth with others. In verse 6, Paul told Timothy, if you put these things before the brothers, what? These things that correct the errors that people were hearing. You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. In verse 7, which I read a while ago, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Don't get caught up in a bunch of trivia that, you know, the people want to debate and dispute and all that, which really doesn't go to the heart of our faith. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Verse 13, devote yourself. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have. What was that? The gift of teaching and preaching that he had been given. So, Paul says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul would exhort Timothy to study, to show himself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or accurately handling the word of truth. Now, of course, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a teacher of the word, it was extremely important for Timothy to accurately handle the word of truth. In fact, James says, don't many of you desire to be teachers, knowing that we will be judged with a stricter judgment. But here's the thing. Every one of us, as I've said, is called to have an influence for the sake of the gospel. We're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to be involved in this enterprise of making disciples. We're all called to share the gospel as we have opportunity and to speak to people, to speak truth to people. In order to do that, we need to watch our teaching, our doctrine. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved so that we can accurately handle the Word of truth. So Paul's two concerns were our life, our teaching. How we live and what we say. You know, those are still very major concerns for us. We need to watch those things as well. But then he gives two commands in regard to this. And I'll try not to belabor this. But he says here, he says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching and persist in this. So keep a close watch, which I've already talked about. In verse 14, he says, practice these things. Verse 2, immerse yourself in these things. That is, immerse yourself in guarding your life and guarding your teaching, making sure that you know these things. And persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Back up in verse 15, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. How do we progress? This morning's sermon was about our growth in grace, what the Bible calls our sanctification, our becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has provided means for that. He's provided prayer. He's provided the fellowship of believers. He's provided His Word. One of the major things that God uses in our lives is His Word. It is the Word of God that directs us, that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, right? So in order for the path to be illumined by the Word of God, we have to have the Word of God. I don't mean have it on your coffee table, you know. I don't mean have it on your desk. have it in our hearts, in our minds and in our hearts. We need to know the word. We need to keep a close watch. We need to persist in studying and knowing the word. Excuse me. Gonna get a little water. Craig Brian Larson is the editor of PreachingToday.com, and he shares this story. He says, over our office lunch recently, I visited with a fellow employee named Cindy and learned that her father taught music at Wheaton College and also coordinated its artist series. Those positions allowed him the privilege to meet celebrated musicians who were to perform at the college. George Zell, legendary music director of the Cleveland Orchestra, was one of the musical celebrities Cindy met while in her early teen years. Cindy's father introduced her to Zell and pointed out that she played the viola. Ever the taskmaster, the visiting maestro put his fingers under her chin and lifted to see the left side of her jaw. It doesn't look like she practices much, Zell said, making a serious point in a playful manner. As violinists and viola players know, the more you practice, the more the skin under the jaw where the violin is held is darkened. Disciplined, hard work leaves its mark. That statement is true, not just about playing a musical instrument, not just about playing the violin or the viola. That applies everywhere. And it applies in how we watch our lives and our teaching. Disciplined, hard work leaves its mark. So Paul expresses two concerns. He gives two commands. Watch closely. Persist in this. Don't think you've arrived and you don't have to watch yourself anymore. But then he gives two consequences. Or as I said, really it's the same consequence for Timothy and for those who hear him. This is what he says. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now we know that we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. However, genuine faith is founded on truth, sound doctrine. And it is demonstrated by a changed life, a holy life. And in order for us to have genuine faith, we need to make sure that we watch the teaching, make sure that we believe the right thing about Christ and about what he has done for us, that we put our trust in him, and we need to look for the evidence of the new birth in our lives. Paul says if we keep a close watch on ourselves and on the teaching, we persist and do it, we will save ourselves. Actually, we don't save ourselves, but we will be sure, we will be assured of the fact that the Lord has saved and is saving us. But he also says not just salvation for yourself, but salvation for your hearers. Now this is not a guarantee that everyone we witness to will get saved. It is a reminder that if we are careful with our example and with our teaching, we will not lead others astray. We have the only medicine for the world's sickness. The world is sick unto death. In fact, Paul says unbelievers are dead in trespasses and sins. There's only one cure. It is the gospel. We need to make sure that we get the gospel right. Because if we give a false gospel, it will not result in people being saved. There are millions of people who are being led astray today by false gospels. We need to make sure that we know and trust in and share the true gospel. As I've said, this was written to a pastor, but there's something for all of us here. You have not been called to pastor for the most part, but you have been called to represent the Lord and have influence with others for the sake of the gospel. Whatever your occupation, whatever your situation, if you desire to be the kind of man or woman who will make a difference for the Lord, whose life can be used to lead others to Christ, you would be wise to keep these two concerns: your life, yourself, and the teaching. These two commands, watch closely, persist in this, and the two consequences in mind, all day, every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Lord, we desire that we would not presume on your grace, that we would trust in what you have done for us in Christ truly, that we would be growing in our obedience to you in displaying Christ in the way we live, but also, Father, growing in our understanding of your word, our knowledge of your word, and our ability to speak to others about it. Father, we pray that you would be honored by our lives, by our speech, by our conduct. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.